But first, it is Thursday, so that means it's time for our weekly check-in with Detroit News business columnist Daniel Howes. This week, he has the Blue Oval in his sights, the Ford Blue Oval, following Ford's report of record pre-tax profits of $2.4 billion in North America. Hi, Dan.
Hi, how are you?
Good. So break it down for us. What do you think's behind these very, very strong North American numbers, record-setting?
Well, I think what's really behind it is a product portfolio that is clicking on all cylinders, pun definitely intended. It's taken Al Mulally about 6 years to get Ford in North America really humming, and I think this is the proof of it. It's nothing but a good news story, and I think the thing that now they're moving into is a period of growth. And it's interesting, I listened to their call yesterday, and they kept talking, particularly the chief financial officer, about growth opportunities, and where were those? Well, the first thing you would expect is that they were in Asia. They're building 5 plants in China and 2 in India because Ford is playing catch-up with General Motors, certainly in China, and also Volkswagen.
Mm-hmm.
But the other place where they're looking for real growth and expect growth is in the United States. And that clearly has not been the story of the Detroit car companies for going on 30 years. The foreign automakers, particularly the Japanese, but now more recently the Koreans, have been picking up a lot of market share and have been very successful in the smile region of the United States, i.e. the coasts and the south.
Okay.
One of the things they said yesterday is they're very excited about the fact that their Fusion midsize and their Escape compact SUV are both doing very well in those regions of the country. And that's very critical for a company like Ford to do well in the South and on the coast outside of kind of fortress Midwest.
How do you assess Ford's North America performance in relation to the competition, GM and Chrysler, who are also seeing improved results?
They are. I would say Chrysler continues to outperform in the U.S. market and has surprised a lot of people and keeps surprising them, because I think the conventional wisdom was that they didn't have the product. And in fact, I think not only do they have the product in some key areas, but they have a real art for repackaging existing product with special editions and things like that to really captivate and energize the buying public. General Motors also doing well. Chevrolet is I can't remember the exact number, but I think it's 7 or 8 consecutive record months globally in terms of sales. Cadillac is reloading with the ATS and a new CTS and the XTS that they've launched. So there's a lot of product. I think the GM story is a little different. They're going to go from having the oldest product line in product portfolio in North America to having the newest within about a year or so.
Well, we'll get back to Ford now. Certainly, as you pointed, a bright spot for Ford is Asia. Their results were good. They got market share that they're playing catch up, but it jumped from 2.6 to 3.6 in the past year. But that's still pretty low. What does Ford need to be at to be a real player in Asia, do you think?
Well, it need to be considerably higher than that. I think the issue, the real issue for these companies is this balance between market share and profitability. Right now, Asia is not a major contributor to the profitability of Ford, and I think one of the real cautions that I would raise is that, you know, we've seen this movie a little bit before. Mm-hmm. In the late 90s, early 2000s, Ford was making at or near record profits, almost all of which were coming out of the United States, specifically on 4 products that came out of 2 plants. I mean, that was really the whole shooting match.
Mm.
The F-Series truck with the large Expedition and Navigators and the smaller pickup, specifically the Explorer. That's what they were making all their money on. And in other parts of the world, including Europe, where I was at the time, they really weren't. And Asia, they were just not a player. So I think now the real challenge for them is to get the other parts of the world moving kind of in lockstep forward. And one of the things that they're trying to do under Mulally and Chief Operating Officer Mark Fields is to really get the other parts of the world kind of singing from the same hymn sheet that they are here in Dearborn and in the United States. And they're starting to make progress there. I think the moves in Asia will be critical. And the expectation is by within a couple of years, it's going to be a material contributor to the profitability of the corporation.
Okay. Now, speaking from not singing from the same hymn book, let's talk a little about South America, not so smiley and shiny there, with Ford losing, $218 million in the region before taxes.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on in South America?
Well, there's a couple things I think. One is they've got their product line is aged a little bit, and they need to or they're planning to update it. I think they're going to be launching the new Focus and Fiesta if they haven't already. There, the other real challenge for them, the first quarter is not necessarily good. That's when they have Carnival down in Brazil. Mm. Typically, the first quarter in South America is the lightest quarter. But I think what's alarming is that the market expanded and their market share contracted, which suggests that the products are not catching the attention of buyers.
All right, let's take a deep breath and talk about Europe, which basically nothing to celebrate there, not just for Ford, but any and all automakers, maybe the exception of the luxury brands. So what, Ford lost $2 billion in that?
No, it's on track to lose $2 billion. It hasn't lost that much yet. That number is considerably smaller than that. I'd have to check the exact number, but it's on track to lose $2 billion, up from I think it was about half that last year. Europe is a disaster. It's a disaster for everyone. Anybody who's particularly a volume car company. So you've General Motors, Opel. General Motors has lost something on the number of $15 billion over the last dozen years in Europe. Chrysler, Fiat has got some serious, serious issues in Italy.
Yes.
Peugeot is in trouble. Renault is struggling. And the only one that seems to be in fairly decent shape is Volkswagen, and that's largely because it's so heavily focused in Germany, and it's got a solid balance sheet and, frankly, very patient investors. So Europe will continue to be difficult. I think Ford has made more progress more quickly in Europe with trying to get their arms around their problems, certainly than General Motors has, which has been, you know, this has been a long saga that I've been writing about since the late 90s. And frankly, it hasn't materially improved over that entire period of time.
And I know that there's plant closings, but you've got the unions and redundancy packages, so that is not a quick fix. So I'm wondering, how much do you think Ford will lose before and if things turn around in Europe? Can North America keep carrying the company until Europe rebounds?
Well, they have to. I don't think they have a choice. But what I think you will see in Ford is they will continue to be aggressive. One of the things about Al Mulally and his way of looking at problems is that he doesn't kick them the can down the road. He's very aggressive at trying to match his capacity with his demand. Demand is definitely sliding. That's why they moved to close the Genk plant in Belgium, which was a major problem. Major issue and major confrontation to the point where they weren't even able to produce any vehicles. Now they're producing vehicles again until they wind that plant down. But I think you'll see them continue to move and be aggressive in trying to match their production capacity and the whole totality of the European business to what the European market is as we speak. And I think that's clearly what General Motors is trying to do as well. But I think Ford in this context is a little more adept at moving the leadership to do what it needs to do.
Let's circle back to that good news from North America with these record pre-tax profits. So it just makes you want to ask the question, why didn't Ford stock get a boost? Why is it still flat?
I think because there's a lot of worries about the other parts of the world. There are also concerns that the U.S. economy is, we're not really sure how some of the tax changes and fears of Obamacare coming in 2014, what that's going to do to the business environment and, frankly, employment. What's helping the car companies, I think, is there's a lot of pent-up demand. The average age of the car fleet in the United States is pushing 11 years, which is the oldest in anybody's memory. So I think there's a lot of folks out there that are primed and ready to replace a vehicle depending on their own financial circumstances. But there are a lot of concerns that the economy is not really gearing forward in a way and gearing up in a way that they would expect. Europe will continue to be a major drag on the stocks of General Motors and Ford for some time to come. Now, the question is, how long is that? That said, I think you could make the argument that a couple of these companies are undervalued in terms of the market, but that necessarily isn't something big-time investors are buying.
So overall, Dan House, how would you grade Ford's health, especially considering, as you point out in your piece today in the Detroit News, Ford did not take any government bailout bucks?
I think I'd give it an A- at a minimum to an A. You know, it's got a positive cash balance of somewhere north of $8 billion. Its total liquidity is about $35 billion. It's retired an awful lot of debt. I think the number I quote in the column today is something like $19 billion. It's generating enormous amounts of cash. It's a very much a good story, and the cash generation is coming out of the United States. So it's we haven't always been able to say that, and I think it's being generated the right way in terms of the across the product lines, not just on one or two products, but they're able to build smaller cars in the United States and make money on them. And that is a very good story, and it's a testament to a business model that actually makes business sense.
Detroit News business columnist Dan Howes with his look at what he calls Alan Mulally's big blue oval machine. Good talking with you. Always enjoy our Thursday talks, Dan.
Thanks very much for having me.